am Maya Fisher-French and welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. And the one area that it really matters is in a relationship. We all like to believe that love overcomes all challenges, but actually the truth is that money is one of the main causes of fights and disagreements in a relationship. And this could be because you and your partner have different money attitudes, but it could also be because of inequality when one partner is earning significantly more than the other. And whether we like it or not, we live in a world where value is placed on how much you earn, and that can create a power dynamic in a relationship. So how do you navigate this space, especially if you are dating someone from outside your financial league? This is a question my guest this week, Queen Malabane, wrote about in a recent article. And Queen, when I saw that article, I thought, got to get you onto this show and have this conversation. So welcome.
Thank you, Maya. And thank you for, you know, for the honor and opportunity to join you to discuss, you know, this big issue. I think it's such a complex one, but really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, so I'll tell you, this actually hit home quite personally for me, Queen, when I read the article, because a family member was actually discussing this with me recently. So she had been in a relationship where her partner earned a lot more than she did. They were living together and he would go off and buy really expensive food or want to go to really expensive restaurants. And he always expected her to pay half. And she couldn't afford it, but she felt that she should pay her way. And eventually she found herself in financial difficulty. How should she have navigated this space better? Or do you think this is just a red flag for the relationship?
I think there are ways. It all depends on the communication, which is quite, you know, becomes very crucial to say, what was the discussion around money? Have they ever had that discussion? You know, and when they had that discussion, how transparent was each party? Because it's really important to be able to tell the other party, I do not make as much as you. I cannot afford 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is where, you know, this is the cap that I have, instead of stretching yourself. Because like you said, she found herself in trouble. But also it could be a red flag. I mean, let's say, for example, they had had a discussion. So it says, if I get into a much more serious relationship, like they were living together, the other party should have been aware that, I mean, and my partner is really struggling. My partner cannot be able to afford the kind of lifestyle that I want. So how do I then meet her halfway? But also, you know, we place so much value on money. We don't actually look at what are the other things that are people bringing into a relationship. And that's why it's important to really sit down and have that honest, transparent discussion. Mm-hmm. And right from the beginning, I think the problem with these things is, you know, we sort of like let them play out until we are seriously in trouble, and then we try to address it. And that by that time, it's a bit too late for the relationship. Rather, if it happens the first time, then you're able to say to the person, okay, given my earnings, I can only afford to go to Rocco Mama's, but I see that you prefer going to a signature restaurant and stuff like that. Perhaps when I'm doing well, I could afford for us to be able to share the bill 50-50. But where I'm sitting at the moment financially, unfortunately, I cannot afford that. Therefore, if you still want to go, can we agree then how we're going to handle it? Or do we choose an alternative way in which we can actually, you know, handle, you know, such matters? And I think this is where, you know, different dynamics then sort of like kick in, because was this person being really genuine about, you know, 50-50, or was it a power thing? Or was it a test that they were putting on the other person to see, can you level up to the same level that I'm at? But also, are they measuring the leveling up in the relationship based on money? Or are they leveling it on other aspects of the relationship? But I think the key thing is, how do we actually sit down and actually have that discussion? You know, because, you know, money, it's, I mean, it makes the world go round. We don't want to lie, it's important. But also living within your means, it's even more important. Because is the other party going to get you out of trouble? Or are you going to be the only one left to deal with the mess that you left with? And that is why that, you know, you look for little signs and actually have an honest discussion. And I think from that discussion and the behavior that comes up, you can then determine, do I stay here or do I actually look elsewhere? Or is this relationship for me, or is it a relationship that is not for me?
I must just make a point there, Queen, that this relationship came to an end. And she identified this as the red flag, because every time she tried to raise it, now probably they should have had the discussion before moving in together. But when they were living together, and when she would raise it, he would just say, oh, don't worry, we'll sort it out, we'll sort it out. But when it came to sorting it out, he'd tell her, you owe me half. So there was definitely a power dynamic in there. So I think one has to look at it. And I think if you cannot, I agree with you, if you cannot have a honest conversation where you feel heard, don't even go further. That relationship's not going to work. And you mentioned that in the article. You said, you know, how do you watch how your date treats people? So before you enter a longer term relationship, maybe you've gone out on a few dates, you know, what do you need to watch to say, is this person going to treat me okay?
You know, before we actually settle into a relationship, we go out on dates. And this is where you make observations. Yes, people try to impress, but there's tiny little behaviors that you should watch out for. For example, when you go into a restaurant, how do they speak to the waiter? How do they, you know, address the waitresses? When they go into a supermarket, things like, do they even greet the cashier before they pay? Do they speak to that cashier with a lot of respect, you know, not with an attitude that says, I'm above your level? But also, if you happen to be around him and a group of people, you know, is he the pompous one? How is he behaving? Is he a show off? So those are little behaviors that you need to look at. Simple things such as, if you go into a parking spot, you know, how does he treat the parking guards? How does he speak to security guards, you know, when entering a building? Does he treat people that earn less, or people that he perceives to be below his level, with respect? Or does he just, you know, behaves like, okay, I'm the king, I've arrived, and everybody must now bow down to me? Because ultimately, if you are in a relationship that is equal with regards to finances, what will then happen? Is he going to treat me that way? And this is where the power comes in, because then such people then want to control what you do. They want to control the movements. They want to control what you eat. I think the example, I mean, the story you told me earlier, because he ate a lot, he wanted to control where they ate. It's not like she had a choice to say, no, I don't want to go there. But because he says, I can afford it, therefore, what leg do you have to stand on? And it can actually almost border onto abuse levels. Mm-hmm. So it's important to actually watch the little red flags and never, ever, ever, ever just, you know, say, perhaps when I'm, you know, in a serious relationship with him, things might change. Perhaps when I marry him, things might change. They start off in the dating phase. And those are the things. But also ask questions, you know. It's important that when you sit with a person that says, I want to be in a relationship with you, I'm interested with you, although in the dating phase, how do you see people that do not have money? You know, how do you deal with that? What is your understanding? And how would you treat your wife should you get married? I'm not saying I'm going to be your wife, but what do you think, you know, a couple should bring to the table financially if they are planning to be in a serious relationship and ultimately move together? And I think, remember, at this time, they don't feel like they owe you anything, you know, and you're just a date. So they might actually be honest in terms of saying, no, this is how I feel about it. This is how I'll deal with it. And you take your notes, you go home, you do your own analysis and actually determine, is this the space that I want to be in?
And, you know, Queen, we've been using the dynamic of a he, like, you know, because obviously the example I gave was a woman. But men also, these are red flags for men to watch out. How does the woman treat people? Is she going to be demanding? And, you know, how does she treat people around us? I think it goes absolutely both ways. And definitely those red flags, whenever I speak to anyone who's in a bad relationship, they say, I knew from the first date, I just ignored it. And I think that's, people don't change. You're right. You know, they may be treating you nicely because they're trying to woo you, but how are they treating people that they don't have to impress? And I just love that. I think that if we all had red flags, I think many people wouldn't have got that in the first place.
No. And I think bringing in a dynamic around women, you know, I am dating someone who's doing well. I'm not. But what are my expectations? You know, am I the one suggesting we go to restaurants that out of the normal I wouldn't even afford? Am I the one that when I'm home, I drink a Savannah, all of a sudden when I go out with you, I actually want the Verve, you know, and those are the little signs one needs to look at. You know, I've always had that principle that, you know, although I'm a woman, I will never ask a man for something that I cannot afford for myself. because for me, I feel like it's exploiting other people for your own gain, you know, unless in a situation where someone then offers to say, no, don't worry, we'll go out, you can have this and stuff like that. And it's over time when you gauge people, what they like, what are the things that they want to do. But there's a tendency as well on the women's side, we like to exploit men for their money. We look at, okay, he's doing well. Therefore, when I go out with him, I'll order what I don't normally eat, you know. I'll drink what I normally eat, let him pay, you know. Mm. And I think for men as well, it's important to look out for such signs, to say, if I wanted to get into a serious relationship with this person, would she be the kind of person that would be thoughtful? Would she be the kind of person that is considerate? Because there's nothing wrong getting into a relationship where you're not financially equal. But I think it's important to look at the other party to say, if we were to be serious, would they be considerate enough to say, no, do not spend that kind of money on a VEV in a restaurant which costs 2,000 rand. We can probably maybe buy it later and have it at home at probably a part of the cost. Or we can have something lighter here. Oh, you know what? You took me out last week. Let's not go out this week. I will actually cook for you, you know. So it's around what are the thoughtfulness, you know, gestures that are being presented. What is the value that I'm showing other than financially to actually be in the relationship? And I think it can go both ways. But you know, the funny dynamic when women have money at gate also on the other hand, and they have more money than the gentleman or the husband or the boyfriend, men have sometimes this inferior complex, where they don't believe women must earn more than they do. They don't believe women must have more assets than they do. And sometimes it sort of like creates this levels of insecurity, which may not be healthy for the relationship. And you might find that like there's little, you know, arguments, there's little disagreements that come up. And when you really try to find the underlying issues, it's because of the insecurity that the person suffers. And, you know, women normally, we're very expressive about how we feel. We're very expressive about, you know, what are the things that are not making happy. But for men, it's not always that easy. And they may not outright say, you know, this situation is really not working for me because I feel as though you're belittling me. I feel as though I don't matter. I feel as though you don't take me serious because I'm not contributing as much as you do. And I think even in that instance, especially if you're in a serious relationship, for both parties, it's always important to really sit down, talk about it, be honest, and really, you know, say how it makes you feel so that the other party hopefully will then realize that perhaps how I'm going about this whole thing is not working for the relationship.
And Queen, you know, for me, what it actually comes down to is respect. It's actually the one word that you need in a relationship to make it work. If you do not respect each other, your relationship will never work. Now, maybe, you know, in that sort of gender bias where men used to be the breadwinner, now women are the breadwinner, you may still, you know, as a woman, be the breadwinner, but your partner is doing a really brilliant job at whatever they're doing. And not every job is paid well. Okay. You may have somebody, and I mean, you think about some of the most amazing caregiving jobs out there, or people who do really brilliant work. Maybe they're working at NGOs, maybe they're changing the world, but it doesn't mean they're making the, you know, the millions and millions. So I think it's about saying, I respect you. I respect what you do. I respect the value that you add to this relationship. And that's what it's about. We put so much focus on the financial. You are only valued if you bring in money, instead of saying, what are you as a person and in entirety and everything you do in this world, what is your value? So I think that's a really big one for me is actually respect. But another area,
And I think that's why we've got so many mental issues as human beings, because, you know, like you're saying, your partner might not be having a cushy job that's giving him a lot of income, and they may not be bringing as much as you do. But how are they taking care of you? Are they taking care of your heart? Are they taking care of your well-being? Are they helpful around the house? You know, are they participative, you know, in terms of the kids and all of those things? And those are the things that sometimes we overlook. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that become more valuable in a relationship more than the money. Because if I bring the most money, yet there's no respect, yes, there's abuse. And I could say, yes, my husband is paying for everything, but I'm the unhappiest woman on earth. Or I could say my wife is paying for everything, but they do not even value or respect the little things that I actually do, and which is the big things. I mean, for example, looking after children is a lot of work. Doing school drops and pickups is a lot of work. Taking care of a household is a lot of work. And whether it's done by, the male or the female in the relationship, it's still something really valuable that is contributing, that is lessening the stress in the relationship, and that is making sure that things get done. So do we have to get to a point where we look beyond money as a contributor or the key thing in a relationship, but to say, what are the other things that we are both bringing into this relationship? And if we are not on the same level financially, maybe the woman that sits in the boardroom and my husband could be working a 9 to 5, I get home late. But when I get home every night, there's dinner ready. Those are the things that we need to learn to appreciate, to say emotionally, mentally, physically, is this relationship actually adding to me? Because you can have all the money in the world and be the most miserable, person. Like they always say, money doesn't buy health. Neither sometimes. Okay, I'm not sure about that one, whether it buys happiness or not, but yeah.
Well, I think you need a certain amount of money to be happy, I think. But after that, to have a roof over your head, we know the hierarchy of needs. You need a roof over your head. You need to not, to have food on the table, be able to educate your children. But after that, actually, the bigger, flashier car doesn't make us happy, especially if it's coming at the cost of a relationship. And I must just make a point, comment, Queen. I was speaking to a family lawyer. She deals a lot of divorces. And she was saying that women who are the breadwinner and then find themselves also the caregiver are very resentful. And she said, it's exactly that. It's when he is not stepping up on the family side that the resentment builds in. So it is so much about sharing that the values of that household and making sure that the household itself, it's an entirety, is looked after, and that workload is also shared fairly. But one of the other, of course, is your family or his family, where the family, say he's wealthy or the woman's wealthy, and she or he may be very comfortable with the relationship and they've had this discussion and it's all fine, but the family don't like it. Mm-hmm. The family think you are a gold digger. Mm-hmm. How does that play out in a relationship?
I think that is dependent on your partner to lay serious boundaries with their family. I think in my personal experience, when your partner does not put boundaries and allows the family to interfere and the family to be saying all sorts of things and undermining you, it might be a good relationship between the two of you. But remember, a family is an extension of the relationship. And the only person that can actually put those dear boundaries in place is your partner. It's not you. You don't have to prove anything to his family, or her family. You don't have to, go and splash on things that you cannot afford just to show up as if you are actually in his same league or his own league. Be yourself, but also have a clear conversation with your partner to say, I noticed that your family does not think that I measure up to your standard or their standard. How do you feel about that? And how are you going to make sure that I'm accepted in the family? But also, what if I'm not accepted? Then what's going to happen? Who are you going to choose? Because I don't want to be, in the middle all the time. And also, now I have to be this buffer between you and your family. And you need to be this way. I want you to be yourself. But also, you need to be very comfortable and happy about what are the choices that you're going to make. And sometimes it might actually say, I'm keeping my family at a distance because I've found someone that I want to build a life with, and I always say, it's not that family always knows what's best for us. What's best for you, you know it. But it's important to have that discussion with your partner. But they also need to make sure that they lay the boundaries with the family. And those boundaries may need reinforcement over time. Because sometimes you tell people once to say, I don't like this. And then they try something else. So they need to be very aware and also be aware of the kind of family that they have and be able to address and deal with the matters upfront. Mm. Otherwise, it's going to be an uphill for the other person.
And, we often see this developing in a remarriage. So, and I get quite a lot when people are older. So the parents are now older, maybe they're in retirement and they get involved in a new relationship. And the kids are very sensitive about this and they worry. And I don't know if it's because they're worried about their inheritance or whatever it is. And I think kids also need to take a step back and say, you know what? does this person bring joy and happiness to my mother or father? Because I think if that is the case, you need to recognize exactly that, what companionship means, what partnership means. And it is an important, very, very important issue that I think people need to, you know, I think money, unfortunately, doesn't always bring out the best in family dynamics. Really important.
And I think nobody wants to grow old alone. And I think sometimes as children or our children overstep their boundaries, they become too protective, even where they shouldn't, you know, forgetting that you also know better. You might be older, but, you know, companionship is very important, Maya. And I think that is why you find people as they age, they will get married for the second time or the third time, or they will find a living partner. And I always say, you know, one of the things that I have three children, and I've always said, got divorced, you know, when my kids were really young, and I was very clear that I'm going to marry at some point, because I realized that my children won't always be there. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own social needs, I have my own companion needs, and even if you can have conversation with your kids, there's a level of conversation that you want to have between two people that are in a relationship. And you know, you want someone to travel with. Your kids are going to have their own life, their own children and stuff like that. Stop interfering in mine. If I make mistakes, they're on my own mistakes. And by the way, if it's my money, it's my money. I've already raised you. So the investment with you is already done, you know. But sometimes it's important that, you know, we watch over our family members and we can guide them, you know, to say, I see you, man, you're 50, you're getting to your marriage. Have you looked at making sure that you've got a prenup? What does the prenup contain? You need to make sure that you protect yourself and stuff like that. That is important conversation to have. And those are the conversations that the children should be having with the parent. Not that we don't like him. He doesn't seem to be doing well. We don't think he's good for you. You don't know what's good for me. You know, and let me make that decision to say what's good for me. Support me if it makes me happy and I'm happy. Support me. Yes, you can interfere if you think I'm being abused, but if I'm happy, you know, then let's just talk about the issues that would affect, you know, my lifelong financial decisions. Like, do I have a will in place? Do I have an antenuptial contract in place if I'm getting remarried? Is it, you know, with no accrual? Is it with accrual? What does the asset that this person, because it's important as well, you know, to do those analysis, because before you get into a long-term relationship, and those are the discussions we talk about, not whether he's good for you, he's not good for you, when I know that he's making me happy.
Absolutely. And really, and I hope people listening who've got older parents think about this as well very carefully. But now we've spoken about an environment where the children are concerned about the gold digger, but in many cases, especially in South Africa, the big issue is where a partner may be supporting their family. They may have unemployed family, they may have parents who need financial support. So therefore, they're able to contribute less. They have less to contribute into their marriage or, you know, their partnership than the other partner, perhaps. How do you navigate that space? That's also a very challenging one.
Yeah, it is a challenging thing. You know, there's three things that I always tell people that before you get into a serious relationship, especially a marriage, you need to understand, firstly, financially, where are we sitting? So both parties need to sit down to say, this is what I am, this is what I am. Okay, what are the goals that we have in this relationship? And with what we have now, are we going to be able to achieve them? Number one. Number two, it's to look at each other's credit background and the relationship that we have with debt, because a person's credit record can tell you a lot about how do they deal with debt? How do they deal with their finances? Mm-hmm. Are they responsible? Do they have defaults? Do they have too many debts, you know, that you don't even see what are they doing with those debts? So you need to then understand that aspect. And then you need to understand the aspect of their assets and their liabilities, obviously. You know, if I'm getting remarried for the second time, I might already have a property. You know, is it something that I want to bring into the relationship? I don't. And these are critical conversations to have before you actually even decide someone is coming to pay lobola for you, the moment you decide that we want to settle down together. And the third one, it's the family dynamics. You need to understand that if I'm getting into a marriage with Queen, what are the family dynamics that Queen has? And also your husband, what are the family dynamics? I mean, I'm in a family right now where I'm looking after my mom. You know, I've got my siblings that I have to buy groceries for every single month. Those are responsibilities that are not going to go away just because I'm getting married to you. You know, and I think it's important that as partners, we're very honest about these things because they've got long-term financial implications. Mm-hmm. To say, this is my family dynamics. this is how it works. So therefore, even if we get into a relationship, you must know that I send my mom 5,000 rand a month every month because she's sick, she needs medication, she can never be able to work, and whatever grant or pension she has does is not enough to suffice. And now and then we may need to review, you know, this amount every year to say, does it need to be increased? How do we increase it and stuff like that? And importantly is to say, how do we bring together and have a joint financial plan so that the extended family members that we have to support do not ultimately negatively impact the home environment that we're trying to create. And you can only do that if you're transparent about who is it that has a responsibility for, I have a responsibility for. But also as partners, it's very important because our families sometimes also take advantage. I mean, you've heard about the black tax. When you're getting into a serious relationship, you also have to set certain boundaries with your family members. To say, I used to take you guys out every Sunday for a meal. We would eat at a restaurant and I would pay the bill for 2,000 rand. I cannot do that any longer. I might be able to do it, but maybe we'll do it once a month or maybe we'll do it once a quarter because now I have to focus on the life that I'm building and the joint expenses that we're going to have, you know. And it works so much better if you have both sat down, discussed your own financial plan for your family, consider the extended family members and being considerate to say, what are the things that we can cut? You know, if I'm taking you to varsity and I have another 2 years to pay, I must have a conversation to say, you see, I'm getting into a relationship. Therefore, make sure that in 2 years, you finish your degree and you actually start working. Because once you're done with your degree, then you need to go start working. That means the fees I'm paying, the allowance that I'm giving you, I want to have children of my own. Therefore, it's money that I need to direct to other things. So it's both within the relationship, discussing those family dynamics, but also ensuring that we put the boundaries with our own families.
Absolutely. Boundaries. I think boundaries is like the number one rule in families, in relationships, is everything. Is to say, this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. And this is where the line is. Incredibly important. But I want to end off, Queen, we've had such a great conversation. We can carry on for ages, but I wanted to end off with a practical way for two people coming together, especially when there's an income disparity. How do you create that joint financial plan? Because I agree with you. You have to sit down and come up with the way that you're going to budget to spend. How do you go about making that fair when there is a difference in income?
I think transparency is important, number one, and honesty is important, but also realizing that there's no way you can go 50-50 in your expenses. Therefore, you need to look at what are the big ticket items am I willing to carry and what are those possible, you know, small ticket items that you can take care of. So it's like shared responsibility, but not on the same scale. And that means you may have to sit down and draw. This is our income. These are the expenses that we have and list them and say, okay, I will take care of this expense. I will do that. But maybe because you have more flexibility, why don't you pick up the kids at school instead of us paying the school transport? Instead of us, you know, going out on a Friday, on a Saturday, can we go out on Fridays and then we cook or we buy on a Saturday, you know, in terms of making sure that even the person with the higher income doesn't feel the strain. You know, you spoke about resentment earlier. Because as much as people may want to do things, you know, for us and assist us and meet us at a certain point, thoughtfulness, consideration is actually also critical. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at, other than the money, you can't meet me the same way money-wise, but what are the additional things that you're doing in the relationships? For example, if you're a woman, you could be cooking, you could be fetching the kids, you know, that is expense saved on the relationship because you could have been hiring someone to do all those things. So it's important to look at the income, look at your expenses. Who takes what ticket item and who takes what ticket item? But what are the other additional things that, you know, monetarily you can't say I put 5 rand on this, but they actually are important factors within the relationship, you know. So, and I think the important thing is to continually review, is to continually check, are we still on track? But also it's important for both parties to ensure that the plan that is agreed on, they stick to the plan. And if there's any challenges at any point, then they're able to communicate with the other partner. Because sometimes, you know, we realize that a partner is making more money and I want to go out and splash. But I'm splashing on monies that are actually going to put financial strain now on the both of us. Why am I doing that? So it's always important to actually agree. And then even agree to a point of saying, okay, For example, for entertainment, this is your entertainment allowance. This is mine. This is money that we're going to spend on shopping in terms of clothing. If we want to buy big ticket items, let's sit down, discuss it and see, do we have money on it? Is it something that we want to buy on credit or do we not? And it's not just about, cars or a house, even small things such as buying a couch, even a small thing such as buying a 10,000 rand cell phone. You may have to actually look at what is the financial impact? Because we do things jointly. We have a joint financial plan, regardless of whether the one party earns more than the one party.
Yeah. And I think I want to add in, we were speaking about the expense side, but you also need to have that conversation about investments and the future. Even if you are earning less, you should still have your own retirement fund, your own investments. And I think that must be built into the financial plan. It mustn't be that you say, well, I earn a lesser salary, so he or she who earns the biggest salary does all the investing in the retirement fund. That is not a good idea. You should make sure that you are looking after your own investments.
And I think that's where it's important as well. As part of your financial planning, bring a financial advisor into the play. Mm. Say, here's our finances, here's what we need. This is my age, what is ideal? Do the calculations shortfall for us in terms of what do we need to invest towards retirement? What do we need to invest towards, emergency fund? I mean, a lot of people don't think about an emergency fund, but also how do we cover our risk? Mm. One of the key things to think about is that I may be earning 10,000, my husband earns 50,000 rand. He carries most of the expenses in the home. What if my husband passes away? What is going to happen to that bond? And this is reality of life. We don't know when it's going to happen. Mm. And it's always important to plan for that risk. Or we could be in a car accident, someone then becomes, disabled and they can't work the job that they used to. They don't make the same money income. That may require adjustments into our lifestyle. But how do we ensure that even if danger that was unexpected happens, we still are able to meet our financial commitments? Mm. You think, and that is the thought process. So it's not just about expenses and income, you're correct. Mm. It's about looking at bringing a financial advisor and discussing the whole financial portfolio, investments, risks, estate planning holistically. So those discussions are quite crucial. Mm. And it's important that they are revisited, at least annually, as often as possible to make sure that we are still at the same page. Because one of the biggest things we don't realize as couples, finances are the biggest contributor of stress in our relationship.
You know how many people I come across who are in debt and haven't told their partner? And because they're ashamed and they don't want them to know. Those are important conversations to have. I find people who are carrying a lot of expenses in the family, but they don't want to admit to their partner that they can't cope with those expenses. So they just keep taking on debt. So these are really important conversations to have, Queen. And I suppose it's easy for us to sit and say all of this when you're in a relationship. It's not easy, but certainly if you're going to enter a relationship, if you can't be talking about money, then maybe think twice.
Yeah, because it also will influence the kind of contract you get into, Maya. So if your partner is indebted and they're not telling you, if you're married in terms of property, you're in trouble.
Big trouble.
You're in big trouble. So, and I think that's why it's important that before the commitment, we have the conversations.
Absolutely. And Queen, I want to say thank you so much for coming onto the podcast to discuss this topic. It was a great article you wrote, and I think it really is a lot of food for thought. And hopefully the listeners have got a few ideas about how to start those conversations with their partners. So thank you.
Thank you, Maya, and thanks for having me on your podcast.